Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today for the broadcast. And we're beginning a brand new series, so this is a great time for you to join us. And we're going to do a series of messages that I'm calling Habits of Joy. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians for the next several broadcasts. And this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And the key verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3. And I love how Paul begins it. And this is the way that we ought to begin, I think, greeting people when we come in contact with them. Paul says, you know, every time I think of you, I give thanks to you and my God. Isn't that powerful stuff? So next time you run into somebody that you know, say, hey, every time I think of you, I thank my God for you, and I'm thankful for you. Joy is found with a heart that is filled with gratitude. Joyful people are grateful people. And as Paul uses that little phrase, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God, he doesn't say that is sometimes the way he operates. It's not occasionally, it's not even frequently, but every time. Even when we don't agree, every time, even when you get on my nerves. I like what Rick Warren said about when somebody's getting on your nerves, he says it's because they're not in your heart. You let them get on your nerves and they belong on your heart. I want to encourage you today as we begin this new broadcast. Romans 12 tells us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but rather to think of ourselves with somber judgment. What does that mean? That means I must have a true understanding of who I really am. And this is kind of tough, right? Because on one hand, I'm not worth a plug nickel. On the other hand, I am worth so much that the Son of God gave his very life for me. I want you to know that all of God's people are a holy people. God died for the entire world, but not all of the entire world is going to receive that free gift of salvation. So how can we be filled with joy? When you think about how bad things are in our culture, you think about how bad things are. I mean, not a day goes by. We're literally thousands of people are killed, murdered. There is mayhem. There is famine. There's war. There's pestilence. There's all kind of bad things happening. How can we remain joyful as Christians? I think part of that is understanding how God looks at us. Somebody wrote this, and I'm not sure who it came from, but if I could give you one thing in your life, I would give you the ability to see yourself through my eyes. Only then would you realize how special you are to me. I think that when God looks down and he sees us, I think sometimes he wishes that we could get into our little pea brain how much he cares for us, how much he thinks of us. Somebody says, you know, God loves you, but not only does he love you, he really likes you too. He is in your corner. He is one who is wanting to have a relationship with us. Somebody said you can spell out the word love, L-O-V-E, using the following acrostics. Letter L, you lavish them with thanksgiving. Just give them an overwhelming flow of gratitude. Letter O, you overwhelm them with joyful prayer. I'm talking about prayers of thanksgiving and saying, I am so joyful for my congregation at Hickory Ridge Community Church. I am so joyful for my family. I am so joyful for the many blessings that God has given me. Overwhelm them with joyful prayer. Letter V, you value them because of the gospel. You look at people based upon how the gospel looks at people, and you have them in high regard. You hold them in high value because of what they represent through the eyes of Jesus. Letter E, and this is really a good one, right? Expect and express the best for them. You know, people will live up to the expectations that you have for them. If you expect them to do well, they'll probably do pretty well. If you don't expect them to do so well, then you're going to be allowing them to lower their way of living. Here is a single thought that Paul has in the book of Philippians for us. Single mind of thanksgiving for Christ and for others always brings about happiness. There's a passage of scripture in Colossians chapter 3, and Paul commands us to put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And I love this next little phrase, bearing or forbearing with one another. That means we got to be patient with others as if they have no complaint against another one, and then forgiving each other. A survey was done to find out how are people who are happy, how do they live their lives? And they found out there's five things that happy people do. I want to give that to you real quick before I share with you some things of how you can be filled with joy today. Number one, people that are truly happy don't look for happiness. They create it. They realize that happiness is not an emotion. They're not looking to find this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They are realizing that I must create happiness by the way that I think and the way I process things. Number two, happiness is not a goal. It's a byproduct. When I do the right things, I'm going to be a happy person. It's a byproduct of doing the right things. Number three, my habits create my happiness. You know, our brain is a muscle that can be trained. If you create habits of thinking wrongly, you're not going to find happiness. But if you create habits that are good habits, following through what Paul says later on this in the small epistle of Philippians, thinking on things that are true, noble, of good report, things that are praiseworthy. If you get in the habit of thinking that way, your happiness quotient will automatically increase. Number four, happiness is based on happenstances or happenings, and they are temporary. But happiness that is built on habits is long-lasting. In other words, happiness is based on happenstance, which is very temporal, very short-lived. But joy is deep-rooted. Joy is when I have that habit for the long term. I constantly think a certain way. I constantly act a certain way. And then number five, happy habits are as addictive as bad habits. You know, we always think about bad habits. Well, you can have some good habits too, and I want to talk about that today. I'm going to give you five laws of happiness right out of the book of Philippians chapter 1, and here's the first one. I have others on my mind, thoughts filled with thankfulness. Paul put it this way, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, Philippians 1, 1 through 6. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ, including the church leaders. That would be the deacons and all of the church leaders. And he says in verse number 2, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And then that verse that we started off with, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Now, Paul was in the habit of beginning many of his epistles with that little phrase. He begins almost all of his epistles, Galatians is probably one of the exceptions, with a thought of thanksgiving. Here's a couple of examples. Romans 1:8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. In the South, we say, for all y'all. I thank God for all of you. In Ephesians 1:16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, always remembering you in my prayers. In Colossians 1:3, he says, always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. In 1 Thessalonians 1:2, he says, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. You see the habit that is formulating, always thanking God for you, continually to mention you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, my brothers and sisters, and rightly so. Because your faith, and I love this, your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all of you that you have for one another is increasing. So Paul is making a comparison and saying, as we give thanks to others, as we love each other more, our joy is increasing. Paul put it this way in verse number 4, Philippians 1, whether I pray, whenever I make requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from this time until you first heard about it. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about joy. And it written to all believers that we are to have joy that is overflowing. Joy is strength. When Nehemiah was leading the nation of Israel to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, he reminded them that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Our strength comes from being joyful in the Lord. The psalmist David talked about the secret songs that he would sing to God and sharing that joy as he sang these hymns and as he reached out to bless others. And he says, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So father and son in a good relationship, when we're in a good relationship with one another, that brings about joy. In verse number 2 of Psalm 133, he says, it is like precious oil. And I get this in my mind, precious oil that is poured on the head of the high priest, running down on Aaron's beard, going all over his collar of his robe. And he's talking about that joy flowing through us. Verse number 3, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Water bringing about growth for plants, and uniting with that water brings growth and joy. For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. So this morning, I want you to be filled with thanksgiving. Why don't you make it an assignment today to give thanks to somebody today and say, you know what? Every time I think about you, I thank my God for you. Here's a second factor that Paul talks about that will increase our joy, and that is having Jesus in my heart. Knowing that he is my Savior, not only having it in my heart, but having these thoughts of tenderness toward others. When we get down to verse number 7, going back to Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this, it is right that I should feel as I do about you. Now, he has his phrases because you have this special place in my heart. You share with me a special favor of God. In other words, this is connection that Paul is having with the church at Philippi. And I think in his mind, he's going back to Acts chapter 16, when this church was started, and some of the people that were with him when he got started, Lydia, the seller of purple, a businesswoman, was part of that foundation of this church at Philippi. And Paul is, I think, thinking back of these things, and he says, even when I'm imprisoned, and that's where he is as he's writing this book of Philippians. And even though I'm defending and confirming the truth of the good news, God knows just how much I love you and how much I long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, no matter how hard things get, I'm not losing sight over how much I love you, how much I am reminded that we are sharing the gospel together. Oh, I wish I had the time to go through Paul's conversation and his conversion of Lydia that I mentioned. That's all found in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6, going all the way down to about verse number 24, if you'd like to read that. It is a great way for you to understand just the joy that Paul had in co-working with those who helped him to start the church there at Philippi. Well, there are four relational habits for the people in my life if I want to be filled with joy. I don't want to give those to you real quick, okay? These are things that I think are relational habits that we ought to work on for those who are closest to us. Number one, be grateful for them. You know, as you appreciate somebody, their value goes up, not only in your eyes, but also in their eyes. I think that people need more encouragement. As Rick Warren would say, people need more strokes than they need pokes. Just to be grateful for them. You know, I realized how blessed I am to have the family that God has given me. I had to spend a little time in the emergency room last night, and in a matter of minutes, all of my family had gathered around. My one son went down to be with my wife. My other two sons met me at the hospital. My daughter took me to the hospital, and I had to take care of a little situation. It was nothing major, but it just amazed me how quickly they came together and how they were there. And I told him, I said, you know, it's late. You don't have to stop by. I said, no, Dad. We're going to meet you at the hospital. We insist. And I got thinking about that. What a blessing it is to have children, now adult children, who are concerned about their dad. And they came by to support me. They came by to encourage me. And I want my children to know, I want my wife to know that I am so grateful for them. I realize how highly flawed I am and how blessed I am to have them in my life. Well, here's the second relational habit. Pray joyfully for them, not sorrowfully for them, not with like, oh, I can't believe this person's doing this and woe is me. I'm talking about praying joyfully for them, saying, God, would you give them the joy that I have? Would you allow them to experience the blessings that you want for them? Would you allow their lives to do well? Would you allow their lives to be impactful? You know, so many people get at the end of their lives and they realize, man, I have a lot of regrets. They were interviewing people that were over the age of 90. And one of the questions they were asking them was, what is your greatest regret? And their greatest regret, for the most part, was, I wish I had done more to help others. I wish I had got out of my comfort zone and helped others. Praying for people joyfully will help them in a way that you cannot even imagine. Here's the third point for the relational habit. Number three, expect the best from them. Expect them to do the right thing. Expect them to do good things. Expect the best for them. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Expect them to do well. Give them some tools so they can do well, but expect them to do well. I learned this in baseball. As you're playing baseball and a pop fly is coming out to you, you can expect to miss it or you can expect to catch it. If you expect to miss it, you're going to miss it. I remember many years ago when I was a teenager, my brother and I were playing baseball and my cousin hit a big pop fly and we were both out in center field. And my brother Tim says, I got it. And so I kind of backed off and let him get it. And just as that ball was about to come into, he says, I don't have it. And he put his glove up, but because he pictured himself missing that ball, he missed it. It skimmed the top of his glove, hit him right in the eye, and he got a big old shiner. What happened? He expected to catch it at first, but then as it got closer, he got cold feet. And then he expected not to catch it, and he got afraid. Kind of like old Peter when he got out of that boat, right? He expected to walk on that water because God told him to walk on that water, but then he got his eyes off of the Lord and onto the storm, and he began to sink. Expect the best from others. And then number four, love them like Jesus loves them. How does Jesus love us? He loves us unconditionally. He loves us even when we mess up. No matter what we do, we can't gain more of his love. No matter how good we are, we won't gain more of his love. No matter how bad we are, we're not going to be reduced with the amount of love that he has for us. Well, here's the third habit, I believe, if you're going to be a joyful person. Paul says, I have love in my prayers and thoughts of transformation. We're dropping down to verse 9 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will reap, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and in understanding. In other words, Paul expected them to continue to grow. He expected this transformation that began at conversion to continue on. This is what we would call the doctrine of sanctification. They would become holier as time went on. They would grow in their knowledge and their understanding of their salvation. They would grow in their love for one another. You know, that's part of growing as a Christian. If you've been a Christian for a long time and your love for other Christians is beginning to diminish, you are not growing. You're not becoming more like Christ. Verse number 10 says, Paul says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may be pure and blameless and living lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Mercy Me sings a song, and it's called, part of that song, Oceans. It says, an ocean of mercy calls for more than a drop of praise. When you think about what God has done for us, I think we should give him more than just a drop of praise. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, you belong to God, and he won't forget the love you have shown to other people. Sometimes when you reach out to love other people, it feels like they have forgotten about what you've done for them. It feels like they don't even care what you've done for them. I want you to know that God doesn't forget. He sees everything that you do to reach others. He sees the love that you give out to others. And I think that we can continue to praise him for that. There are four things I think that we can pray for others. If you're going through a difficult time and you're having a hard time getting out of that rut, I want you to think about how you can pray for other people. I think Paul understood this, and we learn from this passage, verses 9 through 11, Philippians chapter 1, that Paul prayed that they would grow in love. Who is that extra grace required person in your life, that EGR person in your life? If you're in a small group, you have at least one person that needs extra grace. Would you pray for that person that you will see them grow in love And not only will you see them grow in love, but God will give you that propensity to love them more. Here's a second prayer that Paul had offered up to the church at Philippi. He says, pray that they make wise decisions. You know, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. We are to pray that others will make wise choices as well. Number three, we pray that they will live in integrity, that they will walk honorably and walk with integrity, going through life, making wise, honest decisions. We pray that for our children. You know, character is formulated at a very young age. If you have a character flaw that you haven't developed well as a young person, it is very difficult to change that as you get older, but it's not impossible. You can pray that God will make you a person of integrity. You can pray that God will make the people that you love to be filled with honesty. Number four, pray that they will become like Jesus, that they look like Jesus, they respond like Jesus. Remember years ago they had the bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think we need to pray that. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus respond? When you look at becoming more like Jesus, there is an interesting fact about happiness, and that is, the more it is given away, the more it multiplies. Jesus said that he came to give. God so loved the world that he gave. I want you to get in the habit of giving joy away, giving happiness away. That's what Jesus did, and you discover that it will multiply in your life. So Lord, I pray that you take these words that are given to us by the Apostle Paul today. May we hide them in our heart. May we live them out in our lives. May we be filled with joy, and may we start developing these habits of joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase. Doesn't matter. Hope for your heart. No spaces. At HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.